thinking through. Okay, to let you know, this particular lesson on joy has not been on the website. And the reason it wasn't was because we wanted everybody to do it together for the first time. However, it will be posted this afternoon. This lesson will be posted on the website if you want to go back and look at it or you want to print it out for somebody else, okay? The other announcement I failed to make, which thank you, Shannon, is keeping me in line. If you are a person who has no, and that means none, zip, zilch, zero, no, nunca, nada, right? Nunca is forever, but anyway, if you cannot print, if you do not have access to printing, see Shannon, okay? See Shannon, and she will print for you. But we are not printing 160 lessons. No. This will be the first time and last time you'll get one in here, unless you have no access to printing, right? Is that it? Okay. Now, go in your little time machine and imagine that you have entered, and this is a normal day, not the intro day. This is just a normal day, okay? Say it's September 18th. That's when lesson one that is on the website. It's good, I think. God is good. That's when we'll do that lesson on the 18th. But just pretend you have come in, and we're going to do a lesson like we will do it slightly truncated, okay? So, we've sung, we've had announcements, we've prayed, and then I am going to open. And I am going to ask you another question. You do not have to share what your response or your reaction to this question is, but I do want you to note it, because it's also really important. And that is, if I ask you, what does God think about you, and how does God feel about you, what would your response be? I've got some happy faces and I've got some faces, okay? I want you to hold on to that heart feeling as we kind of go into these brief comments about joy, okay? That question ties back to the question this morning, because what we think about God shapes what we think he thinks about us. Right? So what we think about God shapes that reaction you just had. Okay, hold on to that. Now, if we have a distorted view of God, we will think he has a distorted view of us, which is why it's important for us to have a clear view of God, right? It's important for us to get to know God. And in this particular instance, it is clear from Genesis to Revelation how God feels about us. It's absolutely clear. Dallas Willard says, I think there may be a slide, but let me see if I can do this. Yeah, those are the questions. Dallas Willard, I read a lot of him this summer, and I came across this and I thought, what? He said, God is the happiest being in the universe. Now, happy is not one of those words I would have put up here, right? But if you look at it, the entire creation rings with joy. God doesn't just say, oh, that'll do. He says, it's not just good, it's very good. He's joyful over it. We sometimes suffer, now maybe none of y'all do, but I do, sometimes suffer from this idea that the God of the Old Testament is a God of judgment and wrath and anger. And the God of the New Testament is a God of salvation and grace and forgiveness and love, right? But if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we cannot hold those two views of God. So we're going to go back and look at the Old Testament to see how this quote-unquote angry God really feels about us, right? All right. Joy is the title of the lesson. There are, for those of you who are numbers people, 242 references to joy in Scripture. Yes, I didn't count them personally, but I did read all of them. 174 of those are in the Old Testament. And if you're a numbers person, that comes out to 72%. 72% of references for joy are in the Old Testament. And that doesn't count rejoice. It just is that word, joy. Now, of those 174 references, what do you think they refer to the most? Besides God's activity among and on behalf of his children. Besides God's gracious activity with us, joy is most intimately connected with two things. One is singing. That is no surprise to the musicians among you. The second is shouting. And that is of great encouragement to those of us who don't sing, right? Singing and shouting. If you go back and you look at Genesis, all of creation sang in the beginning. The stars are still singing. Scientists can point powerful radio telescopes at stars and hear rhythmic sounds and changes like a melody. The stars are still singing. God's creation still sings. Think about it. The angels sang at the incarnation. Psalms tells us that there was singing at the resurrection. And in Revelation, there's a whole new song to be sung. You are worthy, O God. So how does God feel about you? We're going to read Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He's with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, there are a couple of different words for joy in the Bible. One of them just means like happy, you know, really happy. Dependent on God, not on circumstances. But the other one, which is the one used here for rejoice, means spinning around, overflowing with delight. Crazy, dancing, uncontainable joy. God is spinning around in delight over you. His face is turned toward you. And he is grinning like crazy, overflowing with delight, poking the archangel going, hey, look, there's my girl, Jean. Look at her. She's so fabulous. You know, there's Suzanne. She's fabulous. There's Lynn. Oh, look at Shannon. Look, there they are. Look. And he is so, his face is turned toward you with delight. That's what his scripture says. So as we go into the lesson this week on joy, I want you to carry that image of God's face turned toward you, smiling like crazy, and carry that through this lesson and into the week. Okay, Lynn is now coming up, and I am going away, but not far. Lynn's going to lead us in a lesson, so if you would get out that joy lesson. Yes, they all have it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going away.
So, go away, Jan, go away. I'm Lynn Adams, for those of you who don't know me. And in my normal everyday life, I am not a crier. And I walk in this room and something happens to me, like it's going to happen right now. And I just become so overcome that very often, I almost never make it through one of these talks without crying. So y'all will get used to that. And I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock, just overflowing with joy. As Jan said when we started this lecture, started doing these lessons, we were definitely trembling in fear. We did not know where we were going with them. But the Holy Spirit provided in a way that has given me so much freedom. Because I no longer feel responsible. One of my sins is I always feel like I have to do what God is supposed to be doing. I don't have to do that this year, and y'all are not going to have to do this year either. So I want to start just for a minute about the format. If you look at this, you can see it doesn't look a whole lot different than the lessons that we've done in the past. And that's intentional. We want this to feel like, you know, home, where you can come to it. There are questions at the top of each column. These are guidelines. Do not feel like you have to answer all of these questions every week. This is just if you're struggling and you don't know what you're doing, kind of look at those questions. It's just a different way, I think, to approach this lesson that y'all are all going to learn to love. So Jan had talked a little bit this morning about there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And I thought I want to open this with a little story. And that is, I have an older sister, Terry. She's 14 months older than I am. So we grew up like this. In the beginning, we were even dressed alike. Everybody thought we were twins until we were old enough to say, stop. So we shared a room from birth to college. When Terry left for college, we shared a room. Now, I would like to say that we were best of friends, but we were not. We were very, very different. My sister Terry is this tiny little blonde-haired, blue-eyed extrovert, always talking. On the other side of the room was me, introvert, tall, gangly, brown eyes, never talking, incredibly, painfully shy, almost. She was a slob. I was neat to the point of compulsion. So you get what I'm saying. We're totally different. But we knew these things about each other. And the same way we can learn about God. Well, what happened was we finally got out of the same room. We got married, had kids. And, you know, you start going through troubles in your life. And luckily, we started to turn towards each other. And we started to build our relationship after 20-plus years of living together. We actually started working on a relationship. We talked about, you know, what broke our heart, what filled us with joy, all of these things. And we got to the point now, she lives in Pennsylvania, I live in Texas, obviously, and we're to the point now where she can call me, and when she says hello, I know she's either doing great, she's not feeling well, there's something really sad, and she's the same way with me. We have this, we know each other so well now that we recognize in each other without even saying things. That is our wish, that is our hope, that is our prayer for each of us this year, to have that relationship with God. We don't just know about him, we are in such a deep relationship with him that when we hear his voice, we know what he's telling us. We know who he wants us to be, and we know what we're supposed to be doing. So that's just, I just wanted to kind of point that out as a little difference between knowing about. And knowing about is very important. You know, I've known about God my entire life. I was raised in a Christian home. I don't remember ever having a time when I didn't know who Jesus was. And I didn't start studying the Bible until probably my late 20s, early 30s. And I've spent all that time, you know, 20-plus years, really digging deep into his word. And that's been invaluable. That is how I've known about God. But I felt such a deep calling a few years back to know him personally that I've been on this journey. And I'm sure many of you all have too. But that's what this is this year. This is this journey of taking all of that wonderful stuff that we have learned about God from his word and listening for him in our lives and looking for him in our lives in a way that builds us into this relationship that we cannot be separated from him. So that's what I'm going to start with. So you have this lesson in front of you. And are y'all ready to start?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
This is the interactive portion of our program. Julie is standing back here with a mic. Jan is standing back here with a mic. We are going to be recording this because of the women who weren't able to be here today. They want to be able to hear this. And it's also a way for you all to go back. because this is a different kind of thing, and you might not feel comfortable when you first face this lesson. In fact, Jan and I, after working on it all summer, we sat down to do the first one because we were going to meet with some leaders to go over it, and we both showed up and went, look how empty this page is. I didn't get very much. And I kind of said the same thing, and we sat down in that small group, and it came alive. That's what's going to be so exciting for you all this year. When you start sharing these stories with each other, I have a slide. Instead of the neat little columns, this is what my page would end up looking like. And it looks worse than that now because I studied it for a couple of weeks. And it's this flow back and forth from every single page and arrows and stars and underlines, because you're going to see this attribute in every single one of these verses and more. I've got other little jotted down scriptures. Whatever comes to you in this lesson and in the lessons in the future, write it down. It doesn't matter which column you put it in. It's the Holy Spirit wanting you to focus on something. So let's get started. I'm not going to try to explain how we're going to do it. We're just going to dive in. So the first thing I want you all to do, I'm going to give you all a few minutes, and I just want you to read this front page. So you're going to read the Psalm and you're going to read Isaiah. And as you read it, whatever stands out, just kind of start making yourself some notes. If it's another scripture, if it's a story, if it's just another attribute, just anything that pops in your mind, just write it down. Give you all a couple of minutes to do this. Okay, I know you probably aren't finished. I know you want to keep writing, but we want to get going for this morning. So let me open us in prayer. Father, forgive me. Here I go again, diving in without turning to you first. I give you this morning. I give you this lesson. I ask that your Holy Spirit just fill each of us with exactly what it is you want us to hear and want us to know. Open our hearts, open our minds, and just bless this morning. For each one of these women to understand what joy means when it's joy in the Lord. I ask this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, so first of all, pray before you start your lesson. And then, look, there's going to be a definition at the top of the page that is going to be an important definition for you to refer back to, because this is going to be the Christian definition of the attribute. If you think of joy in just the secular world, you may think of happy and excited and all that. But joy is a response of delight, great pleasure, and jubilation to seeing the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. And it is produced by the Holy Spirit. So I want you to carry that definition in your heart when you're doing these lessons. So we're just going to start. Just start shouting out some of the things that you all thought of in this. And Jan and Julie have microphones. Don't just shout it out and they'll get it from you. Come on, don't be shy.
Yeah, no, you know they have a lot to say.
Well,
they
and remember, the one of the greatest blessings about this year is there's not a right or a wrong answer. This is individual to you and what the Holy Spirit is telling you. So do not be afraid.
Joy gives hope to others, Isaiah 55:10. There's one over here.
Don't feel like you have to quote chapter and verse.
Joy is in nature. Open your eyes.
Mm. Ooh.
Joy is a promise. Psalm 16 says, you will. It's a promise. You will. You are promised joy.
Joy is a promise. Psalm 16 says that we will have it. It is a promise. The joy is in God's presence only through and with Him is their real joy.
In 55:11, it says, we'll accomplish what I desire. God desires for us to have joy.
God desires for us to have joy in Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:12, you burst into joy. You can't withhold it. You just have to let it out.
Joy and peace go together.
Joy in the Lord is a permanent thing. It's not something that's reliant on our circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I'm an earthen vessel. It needs filling.
We are earthen vessels that need filling, and the psalm promises that we will be filled.
Mm-hmm. It's the path of life. It's a journey. It's not a destination.
Giving God the glory for the path of life can create more joy.
Mm-hmm. Now, we realize that y'all are seeing this cold turkey for the first time, right? So when you actually do your lesson, you're going to read it and think about it for a while and not have to respond quite so quickly. So it's going to be easier.
A verse that came to me is 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
God making known the path of life to me gives me great comfort that it leads to joy in His presence.
God making known the path of life brings comfort and also great joy in His presence.
In the Isaiah section in verse 12, it says, you will go out in joy. He has planned ahead for us to be going out in joy. That's part of His plan for us. We will be joyful.
Go ahead.
I love the personification of the trees. The Mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Mm.
The personification of creation, joyfully worshiping the Lord in verse 12 of Isaiah 55. It's nourishment for your soul. Joy is nourishment for your soul.
It's a wonderful thing to see that how God is joyful in what he created. That's such a beautiful picture to me. Do y'all see how this is going to be something that you're going to sit with for a week? And you can see how things are going to come to you over a week's time. So let's go ahead and turn the page over. Now, don't be afraid to come back to this front page. Go ahead and turn this second, and I'm going to give y'all a few minutes to read page 2.
It's a Luke passage.
Okay, I see lots of writing, so I should hear lots of talking. Let's start on this second part of Luke. What came to you as you were reading through this?
Rejoice.
God's joy should be shared.
God's joy should be shared.
I wanted to say the same thing. The visual symbol for joy is a fountain. Mm.
The visual symbol of a fountain, the visual symbol of joy is a fountain that sparkles and shoots.
I like that.
I know.
It's living water.
Uh-huh. It is.
Jean?
There's joy in heaven over those who turn to God.
Joy in heaven over those who turn to God.
Wow.
You know, his joy is in me, and it's in you, when we choose him. And there's nothing more important to him than us choosing him. And no one is more important to him than I am and than you are, because everyone is important to him.
Susie?
Well, from verse 10, he wants every one of us to be with him. And it's very important. He wants to rejoice with us.
In verse 10, it said we're all very important, and he wants us to be with him.
And in 10, in the same way I tell you there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. He rejoices every single time one of us repents. That's amazing.
She was also going to repeat that. Good for you.
Perfect. Say that again.
It's the assurance that God welcomes sinners. In verse 5 and 10, we see that there is not reprimand for the repentant, but joy. No shame either.
In verse 7, it talks about how important it is to repent. Repentance is so important. It's a great reminder for us.
God waits patiently for us to turn to him, and it brings him great joy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where the Pharisees and teachers were being judgmental, God's not.
God is not judgmental, but the Pharisees and teachers were.
Oh, God doesn't just welcome us. He wants to abide with us, live with us.
He seeks when we are lost. He comes and finds us.
Yeah, I get this image of him dropping everything for that one soul, and he will go and find that one soul, and then he'll rejoice when he finds it.
Ooh. Yeah. God joyfully carries us in life and in death. In verse 5? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 5. Makes me eager to repent because I know it creates joy for the Lord. It's not a duty.
That's a good one.
Joy should be shared. You don't hold on to it.
God's joy is unchanging, and it's always available to us. And, you know, we can't count on our emotions and our circumstances because they're constantly changing. But we can always count on the joy of Jesus.
Oh, good. Sorry. I feel like a shark just kind of trolling around over here. Yeah.
I love the images in here. And in the last sentence, there's the image of angels rejoicing.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a
great image to me.
That's it. Yes, the images are really descriptive, especially of the angels rejoicing. That is a wonderful, wonderful picture.
Verse 5, where he joyfully finds the lost sheep, which is Nancy, and puts it on his shoulders and carries it home lovingly.
Not only is this scripture about joy, but it shows the attributes of God and love and mercy to everyone. Mm.
So we have also the attributes of joy, of love and mercy. To go with joy.
And faithfulness.
And peace.
And peace.
And grace.
And grace. See how they're all intertwined? His audience starts out with the tax collectors and the sinners, and there's no judgment in the audience of Jesus toward his audience. Mm-hmm. Except maybe the Pharisees. There's no judgment in the joy. Mm-hmm. It's just pure joy.
There's something about that radical grace and mercy that comes from God that fills us with that joy that he wants us to have. Again, it's that mingling of these attributes. You can't separate them out, but each one leads to the next one. Florida has something over here, Jan. Jan, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not circling enough. Sorry.
I just love the analogies that Jesus gives and how timely they still are today. Mm. I bet every single one of us in the last week have been like the woman looking for the coin, that there's something we've misplaced and hunted for. And it's just wonderful to relate to. It makes it much more immediate that Jesus could be up there talking right now and saying, how many of you have lost something and hunted for it just the same way I look for you?
It's very personal.
Very personal. Okay, let's go to page 3. I'm going to give you all a few minutes to read page 3.
Which is the Hebrews 12 verses.
Okay. What y'all get out of this portion?
Okay.
Go, Jan.
Jan, Lynn.
Yes.
We, sitting in this room today, are the joy that was set before him. Mm-hmm. So he was willing to endure the cross and despise the shame for us. We are that joy. And that makes it even more important to us to persevere as he did for the joy that he wants to bring to us.
Mm. We are the joy set before Christ so that he endured even the cross, because we are the joy for that. It gives us encouragement to persevere. We are the joy. I like that phrase.
Mm-hmm. Did you have one?
Yes. And verse 2, to keep our eyes on Jesus always, to keep our eyes on him.
Wow, that's important. Keep your eyes on Jesus and joy comes. If you put your eyes on the circumstances, you're going to get sucked in. Joy. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
On Hebrews 1, I thought of where it's talking about let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I thought about spiritual gifts. If we are using our spiritual gifts he gave us to witness to and help others, we will experience joy.
Hebrews 1 brought to mind, as you run the race, brought to mind spiritual gifts. If you're using your spiritual gifts, it's going to bring joy. Did I get all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't say that we're supposed to saunter toward Jesus or wander in circles or go backwards, but we're to run toward him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. Don't saunter toward Jesus. Don't wander in circles. Don't walk backwards. Run toward Jesus.
Let's saunter. Yep.
Just the throwing off everything that hinders is very freeing.
Throwing off everything that hinders that race is very freeing. Ooh, I love Isaiah 55:12. That's you'll go forth in joy and be no. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. That was another scripture that came to mind.
Barbara?
We can't run unless we throw off the entanglements. And we can't throw off the entanglements without his power.
Ooh. We can't run unless we throw off those entanglements. And we can't throw off the entanglements without his power. Okay.
I like that we have a great cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by, so we're not alone.
We have a great cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by. We're not alone.
That cloud of witnesses is going to be especially apparent to you in your small group this year. I'm just going to throw that out there. You're going to be amazed.
Run with perseverance. There could be obstacles and hardships in that path, but keep running with endurance and hope.
There not just could be, there will be.
There's another verse that came to mind, which I can't quote, but it's like weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's an important thing to remember.
That's
Psalm 126:5-6.
Psalm 126:5-6.
Oh, I love that image here. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
It's okay.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Nehemiah 8:10.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay. Oh boy.
Romans 12:12.
Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.
Okay, I think you all are getting the picture. Now, I realize that we have been in this, Jan and I especially, since last spring. The leaders have been in it throughout the summer. You all came in here, and in basically a couple of minutes before each section, were able to come up with a significant amount. Now, can you imagine what this is going to be like when you actually have the time to sit and meditate on it? And so what I want to encourage you all to do, you know, we always ask you to be in the lesson for the whole week. I think this year that's going to be critical. I think if you will pull out your lesson on Thursday and read through the entire lesson and start noticing what stands out to you, start noticing what that thread is that ties them all together. And what you will find is you're going to start not just noticing it in the scripture, you're going to start noticing it all around you in your life and in the people's lives around you. And if you do that each day, I promise you, you're going to get something new each day. Don't worry, as I said, about, okay, I'm not quite finished with page one. I shouldn't go to page two yet. Go on to go to page two and come back to page one throughout the week so that by the end of the week, you have gone back and forth so many times that there's not any delineation in the lesson other than God's attributes and God's fingerprints all over it. It's going to be an exciting adventure. I think you all are going to quickly embrace this and the freedom that it gives you and how much more aware you are going to be of who God is in this world, in your life, and in the lives around you. So one of the things just sort of to close is just on the whole process of joy is, you know, joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Thank God, because we're all going to have difficult circumstances, right? Joy is found in the Lord, and it's never going to be taken away from us. Oswald Chambers says that the joy of Jesus was his absolute self-surrender and self-sacrifice to his Father. The joy of doing that which the Father sent him to do. And that's our key, too. That's how we're going to find the joy of Jesus, by finding out what he sent us to do. And by doing that, how do we know? It's because we're going to be so in tune with him. When we hear his voice, we're going to recognize what it is that he wants us to do. Very exciting. It's going to be an amazing study. We're all going to get to know him better. But give yourself, please, the gift of reflection for the entire week. It's going to make a difference. And come with whatever he gives you, whether it seems to make sense or not, because what he has given you is something you are meant to share with this cloud of witnesses, which is your small group and anybody else you come across. And we are all going to get to know God better and more deeply and more personally on our own and through the help of the other people in our small group. Are you excited? Okay. I've been so excited. I've just been weeping. I've been so excited. So I made it through without doing that. So is there anything else you want to say, Jan?
No.
Martha?
I heard somebody say, oh, I did that one first. It doesn't matter which one you do.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah, there's no order, there's no anything. Martha, did you want to say something? Okay, yeah, that was, okay. So what I'm doing, thank you for reminding me. I got so excited, I forgot. This last page, what I want you all to do with that is take that home with you and go over the whole lesson. We really skimmed over it. And you do not have a lesson to do next week. So spend some time in this lesson and use this last page. This is going to be the page that's the most familiar to you from our previous lesson. It's the reflection page. So go ahead and do that. And there's a good chance when you get together in your small groups next week that you will be touching on some of that. So go ahead and get started ahead, which is doing this lesson that really isn't our lesson, but it will be for next week. Anything else? Okay, and if you have any questions, Jan and I are always available. Call us, email us. But more than anything, be persistent. Even if you don't feel like you know what you're doing, because when you get in here week after week, you are going to find, I think, that there is not going to be room on these pages for you to share how many ways you are getting to know God better and his attributes. So let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father, I just thank you so much that you tell us exactly who you are and that you let us know that the most important thing to you is our relationship with you. I ask that the Holy Spirit be so loud and evident in each of our lives, poking us, proving to us how you are there and how each of these attributes is there every single day in every single way, so that we get to know you, so that we recognize your voice the very first second we hear it, and that we learn to live by following your voice. In the same way that the sheep follow the shepherd, help us to yearn to follow you. Help us to cultivate our appetite for you in every single minute of our lives. Please feed us what you want us to know. I ask this in your son's name. Amen.